Let's go, baby!
It's time for the Return of the Empire podcast. 1 hour of all things red and gold. Return of the Empire. Here are your hosts, Sacktown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
When you hear the music, you know what time it is. It's Return of the Empire. We are back, baby. A week hiatus was good for us. Got the rest, got the break. Just like the Niners getting the rest this week because it's a bye week. The first round of the playoffs. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter on the ones and twos. We are back and happy to be here on a Wednesday night, 7:28 or 6:46, I should say, to 7:45 about there. Coming off a great Kings win, but Nate, we gotta talk Niners. How are you feeling going into the postseason?
Well, I mean, yeah, we gotta talk Niners. It'd be crazy not to.
I know.
First of all, I'd like to welcome in all the Sacramento Kings fans that are sticking around for the postgame. I know you're probably not used to this, and we got some 49ers talk for you, a little different. Hopefully you stick around for it. We'll see what happens.
It's really good. You should.
It's a fun time. We really just go about
it. Check us out on YouTube. We got a silly YouTube show.
Come look at our
stupid
faces.
We got a great guest today coming on the show, too. I'm going to hold on to that for a little bit. We got I guess we could say now, right? We got Brad from SF Niners on all social media platforms. Super excited to get him on.
Excellent content creator out there on the webs. And just really, first of all, great job by Nate to get this guest. Nate surprised me this week.
Thanks.
And let me know we were going to have a guest this week. And I really appreciate him for that, Nate. Pulling your weight right now. Appreciate you.
Just using the company, the station's account to DM people.
You know what, man?
So, you know, it works sometimes.
You either use it or you lose it.
Yeah, you use it.
That's sure, the truth. I guess
I don't know.
I guess so. We have a bit of an elongated show today because the Kings game ended a little early. So I didn't want to spend a ton of time recapping the game last week because I felt like it was essentially kind of pointless because the game was pointless. It's almost like having the two bye weeks, right?
It was literally like having going week three of the preseason this year into the week four, which is a bye week now. There's no longer a fourth preseason game. Yeah. That's how this felt.
Which I love. There's no more. I just don't love the 17th game. But that's a different conversation. What I want to get into is last week I was like on these airwaves practically guaranteeing Trent Williams wouldn't play.
I told you he would.
And he played a series.
He did.
I believe. So
he played.
I did not think he was going to play at all. I didn't love that he played, but the broadcast, you had Mark Schlereth, friend of the station, too. Used to come on Cattles and Rami all the time in the afternoon. He was talking about how important it is to keep that offensive rhythm.
Absolutely.
Because I think you saw more offensive starters play, and that might be more of an injury thing. Like George Kittle was active. Mm-hmm. Did not suit up at all. And then at halftime, you saw Debo and Ayuk sitting on the sideline after they played.
Interesting story on that. So Kittle and Greenlaw were both supposed to play in this game. And then as soon as they come out, they do warm-ups and everyone's warming up, including Kittle and Greenlaw. Well, as soon as the players come out of the tunnel in pads and stuff, Kittle and Greenlaw are in hoodies. And so we're like, oh, well, I guess they're not playing today. Come to find out after the game, Kittle had some back spasms. Greenlaw had some tendonitis, I believe, is what the official diagnosis was. Minor nicks and bruises that kind of come with the season. Okay. It was just kind of a minor. Here's an injury to report because we didn't actually rule him out. Here's something of, like, probably they already had. So, no cause for concern. They'll be fine moving forward. But interesting to see the Niners play most of their starters, on offense especially, for most of the first half.
Yeah.
And then pool him, even though Brock Purdy did not play the whole game.
Well, I guess that goes to Schlereth's point, then. Mm-hmm. That sounds like some sort of philosopher. Schlereth's point.
Schlereth's stick.
Anyways, how important it is to keep that offensive rhythm. Because they did get a run. Like, Debo played a significant amount, and I think that played in heavily to Sam Darnold's to his play in the second half. It was very mediocre.
Yeah.
And this is it's kind of being a hypocrite here, but are you all year like, is Brock Purdy this good without the weapons, all this stuff? Whatever. But then you saw Darnold play well.
He did.
And then you take away his weapons and a lot of drop balls. Like Chris Conley looked horrible.
He had a couple moments, but you know.
He had his first catch of the season. He had two catches, right? I didn't get to.
He had three.
yeah, I didn't get too, I didn't dive too deeply into the stats because, like I said, I didn't know we'd be spending this much time on this game because I didn't realize the show would be longer today, but
we got time.
We got time. We got time.
Talk about
stuck
it.
With us.
I know.
I'm happy. I love our starters. I love our starters, to put it simply. It was great to see Ronnie Bell get another TD from Sam Darnold, his third touchdown of the year, second from Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. I really like seeing him kind of develop under this star-studded team. I'm super excited to see Ronnie Bell in the future. I really don't have a lot to say about the offense besides the drops. Darnold had some, he either has really, really good throws or really, really bad throws.
There's no in between with Darnold.
No, he needs to get into a rhythm, and that's not going to happen on this Niners team. He was trying out for other teams this year. He's probably, signed a one-year deal.
I could see him getting a compete for the starter position
and
next year.
So we just had a huge coaching carousel firing, the Black Monday happened, came and went, kind of extended into today, honestly, and who knows where it's going to go in the coming days. But the big one was Pete Carroll being out.
Yeah,
and
man.
We still don't know the full story on that, if he's moving into the front office like Brad Stevens did with the Celtics.
He is supposed to. That's what the team and their statement from their owner put out there, that he is going to move into a advisor role. But when you hear Pete's comments saying, I kind of still have some stuff left. I mean, yes, I'm the oldest at this position in terms of coaching. I'm, my 70s now.
Yeah.
But I still kind of want to coach. And it's like, okay, so what's the path forward?
So it's interesting because I think it's really easy to forget he's the oldest coach in the – was the oldest coach in the NFL, 72 or 73.
Mm-hmm.
You see those videos, like in the off season, saw him riding a scooter around, and not an old folks scooter. It was a cool young kid scooter in the locker room, and he's always screaming and chewing that gum loud. Don't get me wrong, I hate the guy, and I hate the Seahawks to death. But it is weird.
You respected him
right
though.
Now. No, I don't like him or respect him.
You totally jumped the gun on that, Emil.
I don't like him or respect him. But here's what I'm trying to say.
That was great.
Here's what I'm trying to say. That he, man, you threw me for a loop here. It seemed as though right now at this moment to me that he's kind of being pushed out or pushed into a different role.
Yeah.
Like Seattle wanted to move on from him, but he didn't. Maybe he moves into that GM role. I don't know what. I don't know, because he's probably not going to like that. Whatever role they're putting him into the office, he seems like a guy who wants to be on the front lines. And in the past, in the past week, I believe he had his post game press conference where it's like, as of right now, I have no reason to believe I'm not going to be continuing to coach this team. I'm kind of being not verbatim.
You're paraphrasing.
Paraphrasing exactly. Thank you, Mr. Journalist. My vocabulary is subpar.
Hey, I'm just galvanizing.
He did say today, like, he fought to keep the job, which I don't know exactly what that means. It was weird. It was weird Pete Carroll lexicon that he was using, but it was
if there's disarray in Seattle, I'm here for it.
Let me break this down for you. This is how this went. Pete, we love you.
Stinky Pete.
We appreciate everything you've done for this organization. We're going to have to let you go. We're going to move in a different direction. No. What do you mean? No, I'm not leaving, but we're going this direction. No, I'm not leaving. And that went back and forth for like 5 minutes.
That's what you believe happened.
And then Pete slowly went from the shock of they're letting me go to the realization of like, okay, I kind of have to accept this. Is there another role for me?
Yeah.
That's how I think is what happened.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I think this is what people have been talking about with Bill Belichick all year long.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think, what's happening right now with the Seahawks is what a lot of people thought was going to happen to Belichick in New England.
But
right?
Belichick's already the GM, though.
I know. So that.
Well, so in fairness, in Pete Carroll's original contract, because him and Schneider got hired at the same time, Pete had ultimate say on final roster decisions. Now, that kind of evolved as the years went along, but originally Pete was the, if push comes to shove, I get final say on roster choices.
I'm here for that, too. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Niners are set up like that, but I don't think that it's in writing for that for Shanahan. I don't know that for a fact.
It's more so in writing for Lynch.
But I think Shanahan should get the final say on who should be on the field for his team, right? Because it would make sense for the coach who's coaching the players. That would make sense to me. I think
that should happen for the most part. They should kind of have either final say or like have a portion of the say of like, no, this guy is going to work. This guy's not going to work.
A portion is way different than the final say, though. Like a portion, like, I think every head coach is getting a portion to say who's on the field when it comes down
but
to roster
GM
cuts.
Vrabel didn't get that.
Good point. The GM is there to make the decision for when the coach can't. Kind of similar to right now with Mike Dunleavy and Steve Kerr in Golden State, where definitely Steve has final say, and Mike's kind of like, I got to improve this team, but Steve's like, I don't know what to do with that.
They also have that role, too, of scouting. Like, yes. All throughout all these bowl games, and speaking of, shout, we're going to get more into Jim Harbaugh later, but shout out to Michigan and Harbaugh. Yes. I was happy to see him do it. It was nice. I wish he could have won a championship with the red and gold instead of the blue and gold or blue and yellow. What are they?
Blue and maize.
Blue and maize. Blue and corn.
Good work. Kyle, man, he knows all the different terms of yellow.
I trailed off here, but I just think I'm happy to see Pete Carroll go. But that's really all I have to say. I hate the Seahawks so much. I hate them so much.
But I got this question.
And I still hate them. Hey,
here's the thing. Because we're similar ages, you and me.
Yeah.
You've known the Seahawks with Pete Carroll for pretty much your whole life.
My whole football watching life, yes.
Does Pete Carroll leaving kind of signal an end of an era for you in the
rivalry? Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay.
The last thing holding on to that is their ugly jerseys and Bobby Wagner. So, who beat out Dre Greenlaw in
You're still mad about, but I explained to you why.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. Whatever. Anyways, I think I'm always going to hate the Seahawks. I think this is similar to maybe the previous generation Niners fans who are still Niners fans, but a little older than me, who hate the Cowboys to death. And don't get me wrong, hate the Cowboys. Don't like the Cowboys. Always in the media. They're so annoying. All that stuff. But if you were a Niners fan in the 90s, in the 80s, to now, I've spoken to a lot to kind of understand, because I have a lot of my family, I've been around a lot, to understand that like scarred hatred that's still in there. And for me, that's always going to be there for the Seahawks. Maybe in 30 years, there's going to be no chemistry between the two. Maybe there'll be a reseeding where they're not even in the same division. Maybe the Seahawks end up in the AFC or something in like 20 or something crazy.
Sure.
I am still going to hate the Seahawks.
No, look, your Seahawks-Niners hatred is the same as my Raiders-Chiefs hatred.
No, it's not, dude. I hate the Seahawks so much more.
Yeah,
you never talk about the Chiefs.
Get out of here, Raider fans.
What do you mean?
You can't make that comparison, Emil.
I don't like them.
Emil, this is like
the Raiders haven't won a playoff game since you were born.
Emil, this is rooted so much deeper. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to tear you down here, but this is so. This is my personal pain I've been through. This is like
you've had a lot of pain.
Dude. Yes, yeah, you can't make that comparison. It's not fair to me.
I'm putting on the rival on terms of the divisional like hatred of organizations.
You're trying to justify it here, Emil, and it's okay. But it hurt. These guys have hurt me so bad, and for an extended amount of time. And I don't think it's the same.
You weren't there for Richard Sherman, Emil. What's your Richard Sherman moment with the Raiders losing
by 20?
We don't need
to compare.
Frankly, it's the Broncos and it's Aqib Talib stealing Michael Crabtree's chain.
Get out of here.
I know you want to be at the table, but get out of here.
Yeah.
Nate, who's second on this list to you? Is it the Rams at
that
this
I hate?
Point? Yeah, like
man,
well, it's not the Cardinals because you can't. They're kind of like the Chargers. You can't really.
I mean,
them.
The Rams are there. The Rams are there. They're just annoying. Like Aaron Donald, I'm not a fan, especially watching him choke his teammates and hit people with helmets in practice. And I don't like him pretending not to know who Debo is. That's a great question.
Yeah, because I've known you for a good year and a half now.
Yeah, almost 2 years.
The Seahawks hatred is real. Like this is not just a thing that he's selling. Like he genuinely hates the Seahawks for people listening.
But, I genuinely do.
But
it's a
I'm curious. There's nothing else that comes close to that. And it makes sense because the Niners haven't really had that extended rivalry with anyone else because the Niners were pretty bad for the 5 years right after, you know, the Richard Sherman game.
Yeah, they were. They had, 8-8 Harbaugh's last year. And then you go through the Chip Kelly and freaking the geez, why am I blanking on his name? The D line
Tom Sula.
Yeah, Tom Sula. And it was awful. And then we get Shanahan right after they lose the Super Bowl, and
well, you have Chip Kelly.
It took
too.
A little bit. I said Chip Kelly.
Did you?
Okay. Yeah. And I don't know, going through the Kaepernick hour or the Kaepernick
the bewitching hour with Kaepernick.
Just the Kaepernick fallout was hard. I think there's a lot of I don't know about love lost, but I'm glad there was a cutoff with Shanahan where he's like, I want my guys, and we're going to do it my way, you know. Yeah. So I love he built this team from the ground up. He's a great coach, and with that said, I have a little little segment I want to do with you today, Emil.
I like this segment.
Brad, our guest today. I'm going to tease it right now before we go to break here in a minute or two. Basically, what I've done is I wrote down the every player position from the 2012 Niners Super Bowl team that lost to the Ravens, obviously. I've put every position kind of depth chart. I've done that both with the 2012 team and this 2023 team to do a comparison on which is better, where, and why. I basically have just kind of taken every receiver, every tight end, every O-lineman. It's kind of different because this Niners team is a 4-3 team versus the 3-4 defense in 2012. Yeah. So I've mixed middle linebackers together, just general middle linebackers, and then I put D-line. So, like, Nick Bosa's on the D-line despite him. He's a DN.
He's a defensive lineman.
But, like, Alden Smith was a outside linebacker. But they're D-linemen.
Pass rushers, so. What you're talking about.
Pass, essentially, yes, exactly, pass rushers.
Or as Chris Collinsworth says, pass rushers.
Or run stoppers, whatever you want to call those big boys down there. So I just want to go through later in the show and kind of compare the two and see. Because I really think this 2023 team is the best team I've ever seen for the Niners.
Which is crazy considering that last year's team was also incredibly talented.
I mean, this team is just a better version than that in every single way, I don't think. Because, like, you can do the comparison between this team and the 2019 team, the Super Bowl team, the one seed. This team is the supercharged version of that team.
Oh, yeah.
The only place where it gets kind of questionable is, like, is on the D-line with swapping Hargrave for Buckner, excuse me.
Yeah.
And then Richard Sherman. And that's kind of it. Joe Staley for Trent Williams.
I mean, that might be an upgrade, actually.
Yeah.
No, it definitely is.
Yeah, so.
You get the grayest offensive tackle in the last 25 years.
Which is crazy, because Joe Staley might end up in the Hall of Fame at the end of his
time. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
But Trent Williams is the best offensive lineman in football.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really saying something when your offensive tackle, your left tackle, is up there with guys like Anthony Munoz, Willie Roof. I mean, there are so many great tackles out there over the years, and to have a guy like Trent Williams be so consistent, not on just one team, but two teams over the course of a decade and a half now, is special.
Yeah, it's great. But so later in the show, next segment, actually, we're going to get into this. We're going to kind of compare the two. We're going to talk to Brad from SF Niners. Mm-hmm. We're just going to talk Niners. We're going to see, do some playoff predictions. We're just going to have some fun. It's going to be a fun show.
We are.
We also, if you're listening on the radio, we stay live in the YouTube breaks.
We do.
You can listen to us there. You can talk to us. We'll talk to you. And it's a lot of fun. So I think we're going to take a break right here.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we hopefully will have Brad from SF Niners on the other side and talking 2012-2013, as well as where the Niners are at currently going into the postseason. Return of the Empire, Mil Fregoso, Nate Littlefield, back in just a moment.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fregoso and Nate Littlefield.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, they. We are back. Return of the Empire. All the pronouns. Everyone is invited.
He's playing it safe.
Return to the Empire. Everyone is invited.
See, It's fine.
Brad is nodding in our YouTube stream. You got to include everyone, Brad. And that's the point, because we are inclusive podcast, inclusive live show here, and we are including Brad, gracious enough to have his time from the SF Niners, a wonderful, wonderful content creator. Brad, thank you for joining us.
Hey, man, I'm glad you guys brought me on. Looking forward to talk some Niner ball with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brad, this is your first time on with us. Please explain your background to people who do not know who you are.
Well, I do a ton of 49ers content. So when it comes to covering the San Francisco 49ers, you can find me pretty much anywhere on social media. We have over, I think we've reached over 500,000 subscribers and followers across all platforms. So we're cooking right now. And with the San Francisco 49ers and what they're doing, they're making it really easy on the content side of things. So basically, I've spent about the last 6 years or so covering the San Francisco 49ers and building the platform and just, you know, being along for the ride. And it's been quite the journey with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch at the helm.
Yeah. So, Brad, let me ask you, how long you've been watching the Niners for?
I would say my whole life. I think when I really, really started paying attention to every single move that was being made, probably around 09.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we're about the same time frame then too. So I assume you don't like the Seahawks just as much as me. I did a whole 10-minute rant on them coming into the show. Just want to know what you think about this whole Pete Carroll situation.
I'm not going to lie. I was pretty shocked when it came down, especially because earlier this week, I think he was talking about returning and he's got all the energy in the world and he's going to be back. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I don't expect Pete Carroll to go anywhere. So to hear today that he is no longer the head coach for the Seattle Seahawks, it is definitely end of an era, and honestly an era that I'm fine with being over, because as you mentioned, the time frame in which, you know, I started watching 49ers football religiously, he was a pain in my rear end for a good portion of that, as well as many 49er fans. So I don't think too many 49er fans are upset about Pete Carroll not being their coach anymore. But however, he did kind of have them in a spot where Brock Purdy was rolling against him and his group. So it's give or take, but I imagine they are smashing the reset button on the entire thing. So it'll be interesting to see what the Seahawks look like next year.
Yeah, the famous rib game of last season where Brock Purdy proved that he was the starting quarterback for the Niners was against that Seahawks on Thursday night. And Brad, before we go into, because Nate has a little game we're going to play here in a second, before we go into that, what were your biggest takeaways from not only Week 18, from where the Niners currently stand right now going into the postseason?
I would say health. I think when we started out this season, and if you've been a fan of the San Francisco 49ers for a long time, it comes down to just being healthy and available come playoff time. So there, for most things considered right now, I know Talanoa Hufanga's been out for a majority of the year, but you get Eric Armstead back, George Odom's coming back from IR, Ambry Thomas should be good to go at cornerback, Jair Brown, Tashawn Gibson. I mean, the names go on and on of everyone who should be ready to go. Christian McCaffrey, fresh legs. I mean, this might be the freshest we've seen Christian McCaffrey since week one. So yeah. I would say health right now is got to be at the top of the list, because we know that this team is very, very good, arguably the best in the league. And when you combine the health factor and the war of attrition at the end of a 17-game season, that's huge. And the bye, man, I just think I know when we started this journey, we were talking about two things, one seed and health. 49ers have accomplished both those things. Yep. And now the real season begins in about a week or so.
Well, I want to talk a little more playoffs, too, before we kind of get into this next segment. Everyone always frames this question like, who do you fear the most in the playoffs? Who in the NFC stands between the Niners and the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, who do you want to see in the playoffs? What path do you want to see the Niners take? Who do you want them to beat to get to the Super Bowl?
This one's an easy one for me. I would love to have the Philadelphia Eagles come on over to Levi's Stadium. The 49ers have been making the trip over there the last two times. Come on over, Eagles. Make yourself at home here in Santa Clara.
Please.
Pull up a seat and get to know the faithful a little bit, because I was at the NFC Championship game in Philadelphia, and as you guys know, it was a brutal one.
Yeah.
And those fans are exactly as advertised. So would love to kind of give a hometown welcome to the Philadelphia Eagles. And obviously the Eagles are 1-5 since the San Francisco 49ers dominated them on national television. So to get them back in the home stadium and give them a warm welcome, I would honestly enjoy that quite a bit.
So return the favor, if you will.
Yeah.
100%.
So who's the other, cause we got to go through two. Who would be the other one?
I would not mind, you know, I look at Dallas again, another team that we beat. I mean, you look at the possible opponents. The San Francisco 49ers have already beat four of the six available opponents. So, and we know that we match up really well against Dallas, and we have their number going back to last year and 2021 when Jimmy Garoppolo beat them on the road. I wouldn't mind seeing Dallas again. I think the team, if I had to kind of throw out maybe some caution, and I hate to say it because it's the Rams.
Yep.
We know what it is when it comes to the NFC West and these division rivalries. It's toss it up, throw it in the air. These guys just have a different DNA when it comes to playing each other. So the Detroit Lions, I think the 49ers would match up well with them. Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay would be an interesting one. You know, they've already beat Tampa Bay, but it's those in-division opponents that you just never know what wrinkle they're going to throw at you. And it'll be interesting. I don't take the last game of the year as much of anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was there at, as we call Levi South or SoFi Stadium. I was in at that game week two. I'm not going to lie. The Rams really showed that they were a good team back then. And they have continued to prove that throughout the end of the year. So they're one of those teams that, you know, you got to give them respect. Even though not a big fan of our division rivals, I have to give them a little bit of respect.
Because you were there in week two, did you find that backdoor cover with the field goal a little bit interesting?
That was so weird.
It was very interesting. And I did hear that angle of it. It definitely was an interesting element of it. But I mean, just being there, being in that stadium that is an away stadium, but 90% 49er fans.
Yeah.
It was one of the craziest sporting experiences I've ever been to.
Yeah, I was there for the NFC Championship in 21, the Debo year, Debo's insane year. Yeah, and it was about 50-50. There was that Debo. That chant was going on, and the whole place looked purple because it was all blue and red. That stadium is wild. It is like a spaceship going there. But you travel for a lot of games, right? I'm curious, just on a personal level, what stadium that you've been to outside of Levi's is maybe your favorite or like the coolest one, or what kind of like sticks out to you as someone who travels so much?
I mean, that Rams stadium is intense. Like you said, it's like a spaceship. It's huge. The footprint that it holds, that just, it just feels like it just keeps going with different decks of rows of seats, and it's a pretty spectacular stadium, I'm not gonna lie. So I it's very gracious of the Rams to build us a vacation home. Once and sometimes twice a year.
What a $4 billion vacation home. That was real nice of them.
thank you, Stan and Kroenke. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
thanks, right. McVay. It's cool of you. Well, Kyle, if you could bring up that sheet. If you're watching on YouTube, we have just a comparison here. I want to bring this up of the 2012 Super Bowl team, comparing them to this year's 2023 team. I almost said Super Bowl team. I'm going to knock on wood. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here.
I'll knock on wood with you.
Yeah, I'm not going to even go there. But I just went through and kind of wrote down the depth chart by hand. So excuse any horrible, mistakes on any names here. I didn't even try Kyle Juszczyk's name. I just did Juszczyk. I just went and did just a quick rundown here. And for the D line, the difference between the two, this team runs a 4-3 defense a lot, and the Harbaugh team ran a 3-4. So you have the difference between like DNs and outside linebackers. So I just kind of put the D line as one whole. But if you're looking here, just comparing on a very basic level, each unit. So you got the quarterback room, the running backs, the wide receivers, the tight ends, the O-line, middle linebackers, D-line, defensive backs, and special teams. what on that 2012 team do you think is, which unit is better than this 2023 team? Because I think there might be one or two, but I'm curious to see what you think, Brad.
Whew, you guys are putting me on the spot with this one.
Yeah.
Because both these teams are absolutely stacked. And that 2012 team, man, just holds a special spot near and dear to my heart. I got the IU Potty jersey hanging up right behind me.
Just real quick, too, I just maybe give you a second while you think. When I was putting this list together earlier while I was working, it was great to kind of go down that memory lane because this was over 10 years ago now. To see some of these names, like Daniel Kilgore, I was like, oh, man, he was in Alex Boone. I remember
Joe Looney.
Yeah, he had kind of an ugly departure with the Niners, but he was great. And it's like this tight end room had Vernon Davis and Delanie Walker. Delanie Walker goes on to be a star in his own right. And it was fun to kind of see these names. But, like, if I'm looking strictly at the wide receivers here, I think that one is – probably the most obvious where it's like, all right, this team now is significantly better when it comes to wide receivers.
Yeah, 100%. How about we go top to bottom? So I could go coach all the way down to special teams.
Yeah, let's do it.
If I'm going coach, and again, big Jim Harbaugh guy, who's got it better than us, just won the Natty with Michigan.
Shout
congrats
out
to him.
Yeah.
And if you're a 49er fan back in those days, like Jim Harbaugh's your guy. Like he was the guy who brought the 49ers back to relevance after being just the butt of every joke in the NFL.
It was overnight. Like. It was like overnight. Was, he took this roster and he just 100%. Flipped it. Yeah.
And they went 13-3 with Alex Smith, and you know, a guy that everyone had casted off as a bust. Yep. And he had the perfect scheme for what they had. Run the ball with Frank Gore, do not turn the ball over, and that was it on the offensive side. But all that being said, giving Jim his flowers, I'm going Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan's innovation, the way that he can scheme it up and dial it up, as we know, is at the top of anyone in the league right now. And you could make the case over the last decade or two, he's just really pushed the envelope with developing the offensive side of the football. So I got to go Kyle with the coach.
Yeah. I think I agree with you there. I think the big thing is we're talking about how Harbaugh took a roster that was kind of already there. I know he drafted like Alden Smith and Kaepernick, but Kyle Shanahan built his from the ground up. Like he got all his guys and we watched him take his guys and turn them elite. We watched him take these middle round draft picks and turn them into all pro guys
over and over again.
So I do think Kyle Shanahan, maybe sometimes he gets a little ahead of himself. That's kind of the knock on him, right? Gets in his own head, but I think it's Shanahan all day.
Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and say Kyle Shanahan's the perfect coach, but like he's still at the top of the league right now. I mean, you just had Peyton Manning come out and say, if he could play for any coach in the NFL right now, it would be Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
And I think that's an opinion that you really have to listen to, regardless of what you feel. So Kyle Shanahan for me, if I got to go to the quarterback, so we're going 2012.
Yeah. So, that year for context, halfway through the season, Alex goes down.
Yep.
He gets hit in the head. Kaepernick comes in and takes the league by storm, really. So that quarterback room, I have the list here. I'll just read it out. The 2012 team, Colin Kaepernick, Alex Smith, Scott Tolzien, who was bounced around the league. And then in 2023, obviously, you got Brock, Sam Darnold, and Brandon Allen.
Because I look at it like this. This was, we saw Colin Kaepernick thrust into the game. Was it that Monday night game against the Bears, right? I think Alex Smith goes down with a concussion. And
I think
then
it's the Rams, right?
It could have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Cap,
a long time ago.
Cap comes in and just does not give the job back. And that was some of the best ball we've seen Cap. I was a big fan of Colin Kaepernick coming out of Nevada. But to be honest, if I'm going Kyle Shanahan, I got to keep the quarterback that has been executing his scheme to perfection. I think Brock Purdy right now, based on – if we're picking and choosing, although I love what Colin and Alex did, that offense was, I would say, and not to be disrespectful at all, it was a little bit elementary compared to what Brock and Kyle are executing right now.
Yes.
And, I mean, you look at the 49ers' weapons, which we'll get to, This is the first offense in NFL history to have a running back, two wide receivers, and a tight end go over 1,000 scrimmage yards. Never happened before.
Nope.
I have to go with Brock. I have to.
Yeah, and it happened in 16 weeks, too. So not so. Yeah. That's also a bit of a discrepancy when comparing these two eras because we're still early on in that 17-game season.
Now.
A few years in. Yeah, yeah. But like in 2012, you know, you only had the 16. So it's a little bit different. But
the good news is that they had basically a nonsense week 18. So it is 16
yeah,
games.
Yeah, yeah. So that's true. But I think without a question, it's a 2023 team. Yeah. Kaepernick was solid. He came in. I think it took a lot of teams. It took the league a little bit to figure him out. But once they did, it was over. And then he didn't have a coach that helped him out post Harbaugh. Even his last year with Harbaugh, that 8-8 year, just mediocre. Yeah. He was very inaccurate.
He regressed.
Yes. Yeah. Regressed heavily. Just fell out of his game. So Brock, like we've seen the peak of Kaepernick. I don't think we've seen the peak of Brock yet. No. I think that's still coming. And what we've seen of Brock already, I would take that over anyone in that 2012 room. So, and then Darnold's fine. Brandon Allen's fine. So,
yeah. No, I'm just worried about Brock.
just Brock.
Protect
really.
Brock at all costs.
I put him there just kind of as a just to kind of see.
It's an quarterback room, of the whole thing. You got to account for it.
Yeah, but I would take Alex Smith over Sam Darnold.
First, yeah, I would.
I would do that. I want that on the record. But now we go to running backs, the 2012 team. Frank Gore, Kendall Hunter, who's a guy who didn't get enough love, I don't think. He was a great number two, kind of a faster guy. And then you get Anthony Dixon, who bounced around the league after that, and Bruce Miller, solid fullback.
Let's not bring that up.
And then, we're just talking about on the field here. We're talking on the field. And then 2023, because a lot of this team actually got in a lot of trouble post, we don't have to get into any of that. running backs now, you got CMC, Eli Mitchell, Jordan Mason, Kyle Juszczyk. I think this one is closer than the quarterbacks, but still, CMC and Elijah Mitchell is a starting running back, like could very well be a starting running back, has been a starting running back in this league. Very good. Jordan Mason, same thing.
He broke Frank Gore's rookie rushing record.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then Juszczyk is more diverse, just the way Shanahan uses him. He showed off more of his skills, but I mean, Frank Gore is the man. Like, what can you say there?
That's royalty right there. That's Niner royalty. So this is obviously a hard one because it's pulling on my heartstrings.
Yeah.
As a 49er fan, Frank Gore is just an absolute legend. Of course, respected by every single fan that roots for the 49ers. And I agree with Kendall Hunter. I held the thought process that Kendall Hunter could have been the leading rusher in that offense if he got more opportunity, just because he was so explosive.
Yes.
He brought an explosive element where Frank Gore is kind of a grinded out kind of running back, which was perfect for what they were trying to do as an offense.
Yes.
But Kendall brought this explosiveness where, man, he found that hole, he hit it, one cut, he's gone. Kendall Hunter was very, I would say, even underutilized, but underrated as well. Anthony Dixon, you know, I think of the Tony Montana squad over there on special teams. You know, he'd get his occasional goal line touchdown. And Bruce Miller, you know, I really liked Bruce Miller coming out, converted defensive end to fullback, and he played really well on the field. But honestly, it's also stylistically too, because Frank and that room fits Harbaugh really well.
Yeah.
CMC, Kyle Juszczyk, Elijah, they fit Kyle really well. But it's hard to discount what CMC is doing right now as a runner and a pass catcher.
100%.
He is probably one of the most dynamic weapons we have seen in the NFL in a while.
I won't blame you, dude. You could just say he is. I'm not going to argue.
100%.
He's
built different. He's not real.
Yeah.
He's not human. And you saw it at Stanford. He was in our backyard. So I got to watch CMC all throughout his college career. We knew what it was with him.
I saw him, just side note, I saw the Axe Bowl, him and Jared Goff play each other. And that's the first time I really became aware of CMC. I watched him go for like 500 all-purpose yards because he was also their return man at the time.
He was nuts,
so
man.
It was quite the treat to watch him.
Him and Reggie had some crazy tape, man.
Yeah. I'm going 2023 running back room. I got to.
Especially with the Shanahan thing. So, yeah, I think CMC is just – it's too different. Much.
All right, wide receivers.
We'll do wide receivers. Let's do wide receivers, and then we'll go to break after this. And, Brad, will you stick around with us through the break and come back after?
It.
Great. So, wide receivers, 2012 team. We got Michael Crabtree. Then a pretty steep drop-off. Ted Ginn, who's more of a return man.
Yeah.
Mario
yeah.
Manningham, which I remember at the time being stoked about. I thought he could be the wide receiver. I don't know what I was thinking.
He had that one catch in the Super Bowl, and everyone thought he was the guy.
Yeah, him, and then old man Randy Moss, and a guy I don't even like to bring up, Kyle Williams. So that's kind of who was in the room comparatively to this team. This one, I think, is just a no-brainer. Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, Ray McLeod, Ronnie Bell. That's kind of who the Niners have been running with. Like Chris Conley's been around. Kind of just put the real essential guys who have been more in the game. And Ronnie, fringe guy, but with Ray being out, he's got more run at the end of the year. But Brad, what are you thinking here?
This 2023, hands down. Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk heavily just outweigh the entire 2012 group. Like, completely. I always thought, and this might not be, not every 49er fan might not agree with me, but I just, Crabtree was always kind of average to me.
Oh, I agree. I'm on your side there.
And then when he left, it was even more apparent how average he was to me.
Yeah.
The whole chain snatch. So I'm like removed from Crabtree. I'm just like, you can go stay over there with the Raiders. So for me, easily 2023, hands down, not up for debate. Not even close.
Someone in the chat actually just said, honest, I put Juwan Jennings over Crabtree. That's I think that's saying something.
I mean, yeah, it's Juwan. I'll say Juwan has more heart or more dog in him than Crabtree.
Oh, yeah, man. Because
Juwan is just
the best run blocking
wide
on the
NFL.
I've never
seen Crabtree do anything like what Juwan did against Seattle this year in Seattle, where he threw off five guys and ran for that first down. Like, Crabtree, I never saw him do anything like that. I saw him pout and complain a lot, though, and that would not fly with Shanahan.
Oh, no,
he would not be on this roster. No. He was the epitome of a me guy who was not very good.
Wouldn't block, I mean,
here's a question, Brad. Out of the 2012 wide receivers, how many are making the Shanahan team because they can block?
Oh, man.
Ooh.
I don't think any.
The
only
questionable. No, Randy. Randy's not blocking.
Randy's not doing anything to help the team, especially at 50 years old or however old he was.
But
that's
the point with having the 2023 wideouts over 2012, because they're such complete players.
Yes.
Like, you're not getting a Brandon Ayuk in 2012 running downfield blocking against the Steelers. You're not getting that.
All these guys on this 2023 team, I think, are just, even if they weren't blockers, just better at the position.
Yeah.
Just like Ayuk is probably the best pure wide receiver there. Mm-hmm. Just, just when you look at a standard by the book receiver, he's probably the best one on this list.
Yeah.
And then it just I can't believe the 2012 team had these. It just didn't work. It didn't work. They didn't need him, though, because like you said, Brad, earlier, they would just ground and pound the ball and not turn it over. Try not to, at least.
Yeah.
100%.
But I think we got to get to a break here. We're going to stick with Brad. We're going to get to the second half of the list. We still got tight ends, the offensive line, middle linebackers, D-line, defensive backs, and special teams. We're going to wrap that up here on the other side of this break, right here on Sacktown Sports.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Return of the Empire, back, segment 3, and we're playing a great game. We have a wonderful guest here with us. Brad of SF Niners is here, wonderful content creator, excellent Niners analysis, knowing the history, playing a little bit of history, comparing 2023 to 2012. Obviously, the 2012 team went to the Super Bowl. 2023 team has ambitions of going to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
But they are stacked up very nicely in terms of having Pro Bowlers and all pros across the line. Nate, where are we at?
So we're about halfway through here, almost done with the offense. We got two more groups to go through here. We're going to start with the 2012 tight ends. So this one is probably This is one of the more contentious ones, I'll say. You got Vernon Davis, Delanie Walker, and Garrett Celek on that 2012 team.
Yep.
Garrett Celek, I believe his brother or cousin played for the Eagles in that era too. And Garrett Celek was a totally fine third stringer tight end. I thought he was solid. He was a good blocker, big dude. Delanie Walker turned into a star in his own right with the Titans. And Vernon Davis was okay until Harbaugh came around and then really stepped it up and kind of known for that argument with Singletary on the sideline. Mm-hmm. You get in the 2023 team, obviously the man, George Kittle. And then more of a significant drop-off, Charlie Warner and Ross Dwelly. This is kind of the situation, again, like with running backs where you have the best one on 2023, but it might be a quality over quantity situation here. Brad, what do you think is the better room?
If we're talking room,
just all together, the tight ends all together, which would you rather have?
This is a really tough one because I'm a George Kittle truther from the very beginning. He was a draft crush of mine. Coming out of Iowa, I'm super big into draft evaluation. Mm-hmm. So he was already one of my favorite players before he was drafted to the 49ers. And then fast forward, it just ramped up from there. He, to me, is the complete tight end. And that was one of the reasons why I was drawn to him throughout the draft process, even though he was only used like a fullback in college. You could see that he had all the traits to be what he is as a receiver. So for me, George Kittle is, for me, what a tight end should be, which isn't taking away from what Vernon Davis is, because Vernon Davis was a genetically modified freak built in a lab who ran like a 4.3 40 at like 250 pounds. Like, it was insane, mm-hmm. like what Vernon Davis was. So they're two different specimens. George Kittle fits to a T to what Kyle Shanahan needs. Like, I talk about it all the time. We break down film on my channel all the time. Kittle is at the forefront of the success of the 49ers run game.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not too often that you're looking at tight ends as the focal point in the run game. Him and Kyle Juszczyk, wherever those two guys are, there's a good chance they're opening up the hole mm-hmm. for Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, or whoever. So George, to me, is, I've been saying it, and it's a little bit biased, maybe, but I've been calling him the best tight end since he's been in the league. I know Travis Kelce has all the stats. He's phenomenal. He fits that offense perfectly. But to me, George is the complete tight end.
Yes.
But the room of the 2012 team, Delanie Walker was a dog. I love Delanie.
Love Delanie.
So it's honestly a lot closer. When you're comparing rooms, I would say George Kittle's the best overall tight end out of the entire pool. But when you have Vernon Davis and Delanie Walker, imagine Kyle Shanahan with two of those tight ends. Like, so
that's a great point. I didn't even
This is a hard one, man.
Yeah, no, that's
a hard one.
Delanie Walker in the Shanahan offense would be insane. I didn't even consider that.
I'm taking 2012.
And he probably wouldn't be used primarily as a blocker. Delanie would switch to kind of the more Kittle role.
Yeah.
And you could mm-hmm. use Vernon like
you could use Jalen Hurd in the
Oh, Brad, I think your mic cut out there for a second. You switched mics or something. I think you switched your headset.
I
don't know why Brad's mic just cut out.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
Are you there? Are you there, Brad?
We got you back.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Sorry about that. I think it switched to your headset or something somewhere.
Yeah, my AirPod Maxes keep battling with my mic. But
that's no fun. So,
anyways, it's a hard one because you could get creative with Vernon Delanie on the field at the same time. But also George Kittle's the prototypical tight end for this scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a hard one because it's room versus room, not tight end versus tight end.
Well, we got to get an answer here, Brad.
Give me George Kittle. Just give me George Kittle.
Okay, give me George Kittle. I'm going to go with you then. I'm going to go with 2023. You got 12?
I'm taking
Emil?
12.
Okay.
I'm taking 12.
All right.
They're more complete room. We're doing a bit on room. And I do think Vernon and Delanie can both thrive in the Shanahan offense because of their athleticism.
I agree. I think they thrive. Either way, they're both very good. Now let's jump over to the offensive line. This is kind of hard. I like to use PFF a lot when analyzing O linemen because I never like played O-line, it's hard for me to like comprehend the position and what makes an offensive lineman great.
Here's the good news, though. We have someone who has.
Oh, really?
Yes, we do.
Well, so I think just briefly from the little knowledge that I have, I'm going to list these off and just kind of give a quick analysis of what I think and then give it off to Brad here. But the 2012 team, you got Alex Boone, Anthony Davis, Jonathan Goodwin, Mike Iupati, Joe Staley, the man, Daniel Kilgore, and Joe Looney. That's just kind of the guys that got a lot of run. And then this year's team, Trent Williams, Aaron Bakes, Spencer Burford, Colton McKivitz, John Feliciano, who's been great this year, by the way. He's been probably like the most underrated Niner this year. Jake Brendel and Jalen Moore's got some run. I think just looking at it, I would take – it's very similar, again, to this tight end thing where you got Trent Williams on that 2023 team. He's the best – he's the best player, right? Probably on this sheet. But I think I'm taking the 2012 team as a whole. I think that – their run blocking was insane. They could get Kaepernick some time. They were very, very good.
Yeah, so being a former offensive lineman, this is right in my wheelhouse, and I've studied both of these groups. And to me, Trent Williams is the best offensive lineman to ever play the game. And I'll go to the grave saying that. And that's no disrespect to the greats that have come before him. Trent is just different. He's doing things that we have never seen technically. He's changing the way offensive line is played. So tons of respect to Trent, but if I'm picking, I'm going with the 2012 entire group, because when you have Joe Staley, even though I do think Trent Williams is better than Joe Staley, Joe Staley's still Hall of Fame caliber tackle, which is insane how they went from Staley to Trent Williams. But then you have Mike Iupati, who was a baller. Like I said, I got his jersey behind me.
Yeah, man.
And then Jonathan Goodwin was a phenomenal safety. And the combination of Alex Boone and Anthony Davis in their prime, that offensive line was phenomenal. We haven't seen an offensive line that good on the 49ers since then.
Yeah. So
I would agree.
As a unit, so we're all 12. We're all
2012. I would agree with 12, yes.
Okay, great. All right, so let's go on to middle linebackers. Yeah, we're getting into the defense now. This one is the tightest one. I know I've been saying that kind of, but looking at it, I think this is the toughest one for me. 2012, you got Patrick Willis, who I got to meet this summer, and I fanboyed out with, and it was kind of embarrassing because it was a media thing, but whatever. You got Pat Willis, Navarro Bowman, and Michael Wilhoit, who I kind of forgot about until I was doing this list, and I was like, yeah, he was pretty essential to that team, even though they ran that 3-4. And then in the 2023, you have Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, and Oren Burks. Just solid. Very, very solid. You got all pro. Dre got robbed this year of being a pro bowler. I think next year he might sneak in. I think Wagner doesn't do it next year.
He might retire. It might be how he sneaks in.
But if I'm picking between these two, I've thought about this a lot. This keeps me up at night, like literally, if I'm thinking about comparing the two. Because Patrick Willis, I mean, is, like in my eyes, like that era of linebackers was so insane. You got him, you got Ray Lewis, you got Urlacher and Lance Briggs. And then he's lined up with Bowman. And to say that they were like the best duo in that time frame, I believe that to be true. And then you got Fred, who's just a coverage freak. You got Aaron Rodgers going up to him after game saying he's the best in the game right now. Dre Greenlaw is the perfect yin to his yang. He's really just the enforcer. He's a killer. Emil likes to call him Thunder and Lightning, and Dre being the Thunder.
I call him Predator and the Doctor. That's what I call him.
Oh, is that what you call him?
Yeah, because Fred looks like Predator with the helmet on, and Dr. Dre, obviously.
And then Oren Burks has just been like a field manager. He's kind of a do-it-all guy, but... God, I think I got to pick the 12 team, even though maybe the coverage might be a little worse. But those two, Willis and Bowman, it's just, those are the guy. I love them. They're awesome.
I think it's era dependent, honestly.
Wow, like, that's a great point. That's a great
If you're
point.
Going with the 2012 era, it's hands down Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman. And if you're going with this new era, which is predominantly a passing league, you're not being able to hit as hard as they used to. Mm-hmm. Runners aren't as prominent and as large. Like, you don't have Steven Jackson running between the tackles anymore. So I think it really is era dependent. So it's really challenging because Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, probably two of the best cover linebackers in the league right now. Mm-hmm. Sideline to sideline speed is insane, but they fit their era so perfectly.
Yeah.
I would really have to say it's depending on what era you're choosing.
Let's put them both in the 1980s. Let's just say 1985.
Oh, well, like
then
I'm
going Patrick Willis-Navarro
Bowman.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you're going today, you're going Fred.
I'm going Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw.
Okay, what about 2002? What about 2002?
2002, probably still going Patrick Willis-Navarro Bowman. I think anything before the new wave of kind of the passing league, I'm probably going Patrick Willis.
So what if we split it right down the middle, 2017?
Oh.
2017.
I think
Bowman might have even still been on the roster in 2017.
Yeah, Bowman's coming off the ACL?
That was the end of Luke Kuechly. Luke Kuechly retired 2 years after that, so I think of Luke Kuechly as kind of the last of the dying breed is kind of where I put
And 17 was the year Warner got drafted.
Yes, it was.
Interesting.
So if we're going prime, both of these, if we're going prime, I'm probably still going Patrick Willis-Navarro Bowman. They were legendary. Those two at their peak, unbelievable. They were so fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. I don't blame you at all. So we're kind of coming up against the clock here, but I really want to get this this done. We appreciate Brad from SF Niners on just all platforms, Instagram, X, YouTube. But we're gonna get a D line here. 2012 team: Alden Smith, Justin Smith, Ahmad Brooks, Ray McDonald, not Ray Ray.
No.
Isaac Sopawaga, Ian Williams, Ricky Jean-Francois. There's a couple other guys in there. Those were just the notable ones again.
Forget about Francois.
This team, 23 team, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, Randy Gregory, Javon Hargrave, Eric Armstead, Cleland Furl, Javon Kinlaw. Another toss-up, another tight one. Again, you got, you know, Nick Bosa's more of a DN. Alden Smith was outside linebacker. Justin Smith, D-tack. It's so tough. It is era dependent. It's defense dependent. It's coordinator dependent. Because like Steve Wilks is so much different than Vic Fangio.
Yes.
Like Fangio was a man. I probably should have included Fangio and Wilks. And I know there's no offensive coordinator now for the Niners, but this one is so hard, Brad. I'm super curious which one you take.
For me, I agree it's hard, but I am going 2012 because I think Justin Smith could play in a 4-3-3-4. He was a 3-4 defensive end, but he's playing over the 3-tech regardless in either one of those schemes. And we know how dominant Justin Smith was on that interior.
Yeah, he was.
Those loop games that they ran with Alden Smith, unbelievable. And if you get prime Alden Smith, a clean-nosed, young, getting after it, Alden Smith, he's going to be one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. So him and Nick Bosa kind of cancel each other out. But then you look at the rest. Ahmad Brooks was phenomenal off the edge. Ian Williams, being that far down the list, was a starting caliber defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. Sopawaga was a baller, and so was Ray McDonald. So I'm going 2012, I think you could mix those guys up in a 4-3 as well. Ahmad Brooks is more kind of an outside linebacker, but I think Alden Smith would have been a potential scheme versatility. You could put him on the wide nine easily.
Yeah. If you take wide nine, he could just reach an arm out and cover the hole. He was just amazing. I think he was a Hall of Fame lock if he stayed out of trouble outside.
He had so much talent.
I think just his size and speed, everything was insane. When he'd get a sack and then just run and sit on the bench, that was like that was so cool. He was a man. But the 23 team is getting me a little here with Nick Bosa, because how do you not pick a D-line with Nick Bosa on it?
And Chase Young. Right.
Yeah,
and Hargrave and Eric Armstead. I mean,
I think I'm going to go with the 12 team, though. I think I'm going to stay. What do you think?
I'm taking 23.
You're taking 23?
This team is just, they're not even playing that well right now, and it feels like, and yet they're still playing well.
Yeah.
They haven't reached their potential, it feels like.
They're missing
Brad's the
Eric,
tiebreaker then here. So.
Yes, he is.
All right, DBs. Real quick, this one I think is going to be super quick for us. Goldson, Whitner, Carlos Rogers, Terrell Brown, Chris Culliver, Parrish Cox, CJ Spielman, Tremaine Brock, and then 23 team, you got Demo, Lenore, Ambry Thomas, Traverius Ward, Hufanga, Tashawn Gibson, Isaiah Oliver, Jair Brown. I included Huff just because, I mean, he's a part of this team still. Tore his ACL this year, but he's still really important to this team. Yeah, I'm going to go with the 23 team because you have the all pro. You have the Pro Bowler in Traverius Ward. You have Huff coming off the all pro season. I think Ambry and Demo are fine. They're good. Tashawn Gibson is better than fine. He's one level up from them. Jair Brown has stepped in, has played great, especially for a rookie. Those old guys, they just hit hard. The 12 team, they hit really hard. They weren't amazing. They would just lay the smack, and it was fun to watch, but I don't think they were great.
Yeah, no, Tashawn Goldson was one of my favorite players of that era because he would just destroy you over the middle, but they couldn't even do that in today's era, so it'd be interesting to see how they would translate. So I agree. I'm going 2023. Talanoa Hufanga, obviously tough injury, but he still has an opportunity to get even better. And when you look at Traverius Ward and what he's been able to do, Jair Brown has a ton of promise, and I really do think, like, Terrell Brown, Chris Culliver, little overrated, I might say. Yeah. You know, Carlos Rogers, maybe. They were aided by pass rush.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you here, but on the radio side of things, we got to wrap things up. We're going to stay live on YouTube for a few extra minutes, kind of wrap up this segment real quick. Brad, SF Niners everywhere, right? We're super happy to have you on, hoping to get you on some future shows here at the station. Absolutely. We love that you came on at night.
At Graham _SFN on Twitter. Go give him a follow and go follow his pods and his YouTube. Everything over there. Appreciate everyone. Return of the Empire.
We'll Emil Fragoso, Sacktown Sports. Read his articles. Niners Insider. You got me, Nate Littlefield, on Instagram. We got to wrap up here. We're going to finish things on the radio side, staying live on YouTube. Thank you, everybody. Sacktown Sports, 1140.